a lot of birds from a cruise, but you can increase your chances with excursions you choose.
Thank you for tuning in to Hannah and Erica Birding, a podcast by birders for birders.
I'm Hannah and he's Eric.
We created this podcast to share adventures, sometimes misadventures, and opinions that we have on different birding topics. We're definitely not experts, and anything that we discuss that might be controversial, I want you to remember, there are our own opinions, and they might be different from yours.
So, there's been some huge news in the birding community lately that blew my mind.
It came out the day we released our last episode.
Is that when it came out?
So, we're too late to talk about it now.
Well, my mind is still blown about it.
Yeah.
This amazing birder, Peter Kaestner, who I have just been obsessed with because his life has been so cool and he's done so many cool things and been so many cool places. Anyways, he saw his 10,000th bird recently in the Philippines, and it was an orange tufted spider hunter.
Yeah, and he'd been kind of chasing this 10,000 number for a while. He's been a birder. He was in like the U.S. Foreign Service or something like that. You worked for the government, and so he had an opportunity to travel a lot during his working career. Always been a birder since he was a kid, and then now he's retired and he's still birding and still traveling. And so he had a plan to have his 10,000th bird be a tufted puffin, which was shocking to us that a tufted puffin wasn't on his list yet.
I know.
But then it was like, well, we got to reach out to him and see if we can get him to come to Cannon Beach.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he was planning on coming to Cannon Beach for it.
I don't know. He didn't but explicitly
he
say
didn't
that.
He didn't specify exactly where, but he ended up not seeing his 10,000th bird as tufted puffin. Like Hannah said, the orange tufted spider hunter was his 10,000th bird.
Hey, at least it's another tufted bird.
That's true. Orange tufted.
So yeah, kind of the same. Anyways, congratulations to Peter. That's an incredible accomplishment. Whether you know you're a lister or you just like to go out and see birds and you don't care how many you see, like you have to give it up. That is an incredible accomplishment.
It's a lot of traveling, and he's infused a lot of money into small local economies. Yeah.
Yeah, and he hires local guides everywhere he goes. So, yeah, just absolutely incredible. And I think my goal now is to be the youngest person to see 10,000. because I can't be the first.
Nope, not anymore.
Yeah. So, anyways, congratulations. Another piece of news that I wanted to mention is that I have been trying to be a better blog writer, and that has spurred into me doing a monthly column for 10,000 birds. So if you want to read about some of our adventures, more than what we talk about in the podcast, you can check out 10,000 Birds blog, which is really easy to find. We'll post it in the show notes and you can read my monthly column. I have 2 out so far and another one coming out at the end of this month. So check that out.
So Hannah goes into different details than we talk about during our episodes. So even if you listen to our Lizutu episode, or episode that we talked about Lizutu, Hannah's blog about Lizutu is slightly different, has other stuff in
Thanks.
It. So if you like reading stuff, it's there.
Yeah.
It's good. I
want to be a better writer.
Yeah. You're a good writer.
Write more often.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, dear. That's very sweet.
We also wanted to thank Chris and Klaus, who have bought us some coffees on Buy Me a Coffee. We have that link in our show notes if you want to support us financially. We don't really ask for much from anyone. We don't really want much from anyone. We do this because we love it, but we really appreciate the coffees that Chris and Klaus and all the other listeners have bought us over the time that we've had it going.
Yeah, and we do, like Eric said, we don't do it for the money. We do it because we want to share birds with everyone and, try to get everybody to become a birder. So we do appreciate it because, of course, there are financial things that go into doing podcasts.
Hosting like the website.
Hosting the website, hosting the podcast itself, all the equipment that we've already bought. So it's a sunk cost at this point. But yeah, we do appreciate it. Thank you all.
Yeah. Okay, so Hannah's got 2 other podcasts, Women Birders Happy Hour and Bird Nerd Book Club. You had last week, Women Birders Happy Hour came out. Who'd you interview for that?
I interviewed Katrina Clark for that episode. So that was a lot of fun to talk with her. She is one of the founding members of In Color Birding. And we talked to Jason Hall a couple months ago, I think. Maybe a year ago
or so. About a year ago, yeah.
About their group. So it was fun to get her perspective on it as well.
Yeah, super cool. And then next week, Bernard Book Club, what book did you read? Who'd you talk to?
Yeah, so I'll be talking to Jordan Spalding, who has a new book coming out. I can't remember the date of it right now, but it's the Black-Throated Blue Warbler book, and it's a wonderful read. It's pretty short, but it is so impactful and so cool. So that episode comes out on February 29th.
Cool. So look for those anywhere you find us at. We're Hannah's other podcasts are there as well.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've got, real quick, we got a little bit of travel coming up. We are currently in San Diego right now for the San Diego Bird Festival. End of February right now. So if you're listening to us right when we came out, then maybe you can see us at the festival. I don't know.
If you're also at the festival.
If you're also in the festival, yeah. So so we're down here in San Diego. Super excited about this. Great festival in February. In April, we will be going to Spring Chirp down in Weslaco, Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley. We also recently booked a Princess Cruise, a repositioning cruise that goes from LA to Vancouver, Canada, to do some pelagic birding on that. That's May 7th to 11th. So if you're interested, May 7th to 11th, LA to Vancouver, Princess Cruise Lines. I'm sure there's probably berths still available. I haven't checked.
Yeah.
We got a cheap inside room and said, whatever.
Yeah.
And haven't checked again on availability, but yeah, that's going to be a good one. Lots of people on that so far. Dean Hill Woodpecker Festival in May, last weekend of May in Sisters. We have been getting closer and closer to finalizing that. I'm sure we're finalized and we're going, but, don't know exactly what we're doing there yet, but super excited to get out and go see some woodpeckers and some of the high desert species that Central Oregon has to offer for us. And then in September, Amazon Birding Expedition Brazil for Women. Hannah will be going to that.
Yeah, with Birding is the World Brazil, so really excited for that. And there's still a spot left, so if anybody wants to go to Brazil with me, check out the show notes.
One spot left.
So, Eric, we just completed our February Bird Nerd giveaway, which was to do what?
To tell us what weird question you ask people. So when we travel, we ask odd questions that are a lot of times don't have anything to do with birding or bird watching or traveling or anything like that. We'll just ask random questions because we're curious about stuff.
Sure.
And kind of a running theme with me is about infrastructure. I want to talk about infrastructure.
I like to talk about tourism-related things.
Yeah. So we asked you guys all, what weird question do you like to ask? I'm sure there's other people that are asking weird questions. We're positive there's other people. And there was. There was lots of people sent us in their stuff. What weird question? And then out of those answers, we randomly selected a winner to win 2 pounds of chestnut-sided warbler medium dark roast coffee from Birds and Beans. And it's pre-ground, so you don't have to have a grinder.
So our randomly selected winner was Angelina, and her question is what restaurants they recommend and if they're local to the area, if they know any history about that area, because she loves local history.
Awesome.
So very cool.
Yeah.
And thank you all for participating. We'll have another Bird Nerd giveaway in our next episode, so check that out.
Okay, so we didn't just get back. We got back a while ago from a cruise. It was supposed to be a company retreat for the hotel, a yearly company retreat that we all
own and operate, and yeah. That's our 99% of our day job.
Mm-hmm. And so right when we all kind of booked it, Hannah's sister decided she's been engaged for 5 years?
I have no idea how long they've been engaged
They've been engaged for a while, and her and her fiance, and they were like, you know what? Let's just finally do this. Instead of just dragging this along forever, let's get married. And a cruise is a perfect place to do it because everyone's a captive audience. They can't say, oh no, I couldn't make it because I was drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
So captive audience, everyone on the ship was going to, everyone in the family on the ship was going to be at the wedding.
I was going to say, it's not everybody on the ship.
The entire ship had to be there. No,
yeah.
So Hannah's sister decided they're going to have their wedding on a cruise. So it became a company retreat / sister wedding. Sister's wedding.
Which just makes me think of Sister Act 2. The wedding. So that was the situation. And of course, Eric and I take advantage of birding whenever we can. And we encourage you to as well.
Absolutely. We did not bring a scope.
We didn't. Yeah. I had to bring a bridesmaid dress and like 3 pairs of heels. So a scope was not in the cards for us. And we did mention about going birding in our last episode in Florida. So normally we would have brought our scope and, you know, done a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
That wasn't, like Eric said, in the cards.
We were traveling. Too much stuff to bring with us.
Traveling light this one.
Birding light. We had a lot of baggage.
Yeah. emotional and physical. So anyways, you know, cruising can be really good for birds because it takes you to all these cool places and you get a chance to go to a couple different places mm-hmm. while you're on a cruise. However, a lot of times it can be difficult to find either guides or excursions that get you to birding places.
And yeah. so you usually don't get to the birding destination or the cruise port until a long time after sunrise. So 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Some usually is kind of the time frame that you arrive, so it's not prime birding time to get there anyways. But if you can find an excursion, you can get to some habitat and get some cool birds.
So I guess kind of the layout of the way we're going to discuss this is if you are subject to going on a princess similar cruise to the Eastern Caribbean to some of these ports, here are some ways in which you can maximize birding.
Yeah.
So I talked to Birds Caribbean mm-hmm. folks for a while. I did a couple episodes with my Women Birders Happy Hour podcast, and they have a Caribbean birding trail. And so I really wanted to highlight some of the Caribbean birding sites that they have listed on their trail as much as we possibly could. And they have a great resource of guides too, that you can search for, and you can search guides on different islands, because they have a training program, which is also really cool.
That's super cool.
And I really want to get more like involved or learn more about the Caribbean Birding Trail stuff and all the cool things that Birds Caribbean does, because it's really impactful to communities. So beside that, that's my pitch for them. So send me your check. I'm just kidding. So anyways, we reached out to a number of Birds Caribbean guides that are listed on their website. However, all of them were busy.
Yeah. So it is, seems to be either a busy time for Caribbean birding in terms of guides having stuff, or a lot of them, we ended up like, I'm free, but I'm on the whole other side of the island, or yeah. I'm all the way over here and I'm not going to be able to get there in time, or whatever it was. So it was very, very discouraging.
Well,
but we were limited to one day. Like yeah. we were limited to one day, and in some of the ports, we were limited to one day with only like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 hours in a location that we can do something. It's difficult to line up that schedule. It is doable in some places.
Yeah,
and we have lots of friends that have made it work out and get the guides, but it did not work out for us.
Yeah.
To find a guide.
Which it is what it is. So yeah. We tried to make the best of it and do it our own way. So if you do go on a princess cruise, mm-hmm. oftentimes they'll stop at this island that's a little chunk of the Bahamas. That's mm-hmm. kind of their own private resort. They have...
They call it their own island, but...
It's called the Cay.
Yeah. And they refer to, it's our own private island. But it's not... The resort itself isn't in and of itself an island. There's the princess side, and then if you leave the resort area and go to the other side of the island, that's where the Disney resort area is at. And then if you go north on the island, there's actually a city. So yeah. it does feel like you're on just a private island and there's nothing going on because it's designed that way, but it's not quite that way. So it's a bigger island, so there is more habitat on this island. It's not just the resort, little tiny resort thing.
Yeah.
So don't be discouraged when you see that you're going to a private island on this thing, because there is habitat.
So the section that Princess has, it's maybe like 3/4 mile long and then a couple hundred feet from, you know, east-west. Mm-hmm. And they have like a couple like huge cabana kind of things with buffets, and then a couple that are bars, and then just like 1,000 beach chairs set up.
From one end of the beach, 3/4 mile of beach chairs lined up in like 4 rows deep all the way down the beach for 3/4 mile.
There's some designated snorkeling areas. There's also all these cabanas that you can rent if you want, which
I don't see the point.
Seems like a waste. Yeah. There's a couple of like little store shops too that are supposed to be selling like Bahamian crafted items. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the layout of the situation there. So we'd been on the island before. We'd been mm-hmm. on a previous cruise, I think, with my mom and dad.
Yeah, years back.
Yeah, and so we did some birding there before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just kind of make the best of it when you're birding there.
There's a lot of drunk people and a lot of music. They're playing a lot of music, so you can't hear very much stuff.
Yeah, but fortunately, you know, it is pretty birdy.
Oh,
so
it is. Yeah.
There's the beach side, and then on the kind of the other couple hundred feet to the east, mm-hmm. there's like a lagoon, and then there's a brush line that goes along the edge of that, and there's a service road for the employees to, you know, move goods back and forth.
Yeah, and the brush line is like a mix of mangrove and I think it was Australian pine.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
And so it's kind of a mixed shrubby habitat that's there. Granted, the Australian pine is non-native, but it still attracts things like yellow-rumped warblers and banana quits and stuff like that into that brush pretty easily.
Yeah, so when we got on the island, we dropped my mom off on the beach and said, see you later.
And we'll be back.
Yeah, headed over to the lagoon, you know, scoping out for, like, ducks and, like, herons and things like mm-hmm. that, which we didn't really see a whole lot of anything
right
there. A
couple great egrets.
Yeah.
Like, really distant great egrets.
And then behind us, there were these birds, like, hopping from one side of the brush to the other, which took us a few minutes to actually get eyes on one, but they ended up being common ground doves.
Yeah.
So that was
super, super cool, guys. Little tiny doves that are like all scale, or they, when they're flying, they kind of look scaly. They're just not as scaly as an Inca dove, but
no.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, they look like a miniature mourning dove.
A miniature mourning dove. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool little doves, yeah.
So we continued walking up like the service road along the brush line up to the northern side mm-hmm. Before you get to like the private cabana area. And right there, I mean, I'd been looking.
You see the disgust in your voice, the private cabana area.
I don't mean it like that. It's just like I wanted to walk through there.
I know, the habitat got better.
It did.
There was better like bushes and stuff.
But there was like a gate, so I didn't want to. Yeah, no, I don't want to go in. But anyways, I had been looking at eBird to see what our target species was, and there was like three targets.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Bahamian woods or the Bahama wood star,
yeah.
which is a hummingbird. The Greater Antillean Brushfinch and
Bullfinch.
I'm sorry, Greater Antillean Bullfinch mm-hmm. and Thick-billed Vireo. And so those were our like top targets in that area. And so I looked at eBird and I saw, oh, there's only one hummingbird here.
Yeah. So if we see a hummingbird, it's the woodstar.
Exactly. And so as we got to that northern section, right before the gate that goes into the private area,
mm-hmm.
there was a hummingbird
yeah.
flying around.
And not to just say, oh, well, it's a hummingbird and there's only... It was a woodstar.
Yeah,
so if
definitely.
You're familiar with hummingbirds, woodstars are smaller hummingbirds and they are like really pot-bellied.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a small pot-bellied hummingbird. So it's like, well, this is a woodstar. And the likelihood of it being anything other than a Bahama woodstar is pretty darn low. So it's
yeah.
like, okay. So even though we can't get really, really good looks at this thing, it's really buzzing around, eating and having a good time. It was Bahama woodstar. Nice. First lifer.
And that was quick, too.
I don't know. We didn't even, like, dilly-dally. You just broke free from your mom, walked over, and boom, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a tree that was right next to it that had a couple yellow-bellied sapsuckers.
Yeah. Oh, man, those are so much fun to watch.
So we started to walk back south after that to head to the other end of the island to mm-hmm. see if we could find anything else.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of yellow-rumped warblers hopping
oh, yeah.
around
so
through the
is.
Trees. Because there's a lot of palm trees along the, like, pathway that goes to, you know, all the guest areas.
Mm-hmm.
And yellow-rumped warblers and palm warblers, like, crazy in there.
Absolutely, yes. And also, so we're going down south. We get to where we got onto the island at, and there's a kind of hidden, quote-unquote, hidden gate that goes to the rest of the island.
Yeah.
And I seriously considered briefly, like, maybe we should just go that way and then just go start walking that road north and go in, like, see if we can find some more water, some more habitat stuff.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, I don't know if we're going to, how easy it's going to be to get back in. And
I know.
It was, there was a lot of questions. So I was like, well, we'll just keep going south. We'll walk south along the beach and go as far south as we can until we run out of time.
But before we got to that gate, that's where we had a bunch of activity in a bush.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, and that's you were like, okay, well, so the next thing on the list that we really want to see is the Greater Antillean Bullfinch. You're like, so we pull up a picture and we're looking at it and it's like, okay, well, this is cool and there's some activity in this tree. And we're like, well, let's look. I'm assuming it was a palm warbler or some yellow rumps or something. And we look at it and we're like, whoa, wait a minute, this is way bigger. This is not a warbler. This is a bullfinch. And I was like, okay, so Hannah, if you want to just manifest the rest of the birds for this trip, just say it, and then we can just look at the next bird and it'll be it.
Exactly.
And so that's exactly what it was. It was a Greater Antillean bullfinch, and there's two of them dancing around. They started fairly deep, and then they came all the way out to the edge to kind of yell at us for a second, and then they kind of worked their way up, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So then we did head on to the other side of that waterway, that little bay inlet thing. Yeah,
past the gate, past all that, all the infrastructure stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, and headed over to the other lagoon that's kind of on the southern edge, and you know, we were just looking to get whatever we could,
to fill up the list. We already had two lifers. We're like, okay, we're doing good. We have two lifers. We've already been to this island before.
Yeah.
We've already been to this exact spot on this island before at a very similar time of year. So we weren't even anticipating actually getting lifers. So we had two. So we're very happy. We're
like, yeah.
Everything else is just walking along in the sand and having a good time.
Yeah. So, you know, I had a great egret in there. And then while we were standing there listening to the great egret, we heard something
watching the great egret.
Sorry. Watching the great egret. We heard something that sounded like a vireo.
Yeah.
It sounded like a white-eyed vireo, but kind of like wrong.
So the name of this bird really is reminiscent in my mind of it's very descriptive of the call. So you hear white-eyed vireo, you know, and it just is really light and bouncy, and it's very high-pitched notes as it goes along. The thick-billed vireo is that's what this guy was, thick-billed vireo. You take all of those notes and you drop them down like a half octave. And then you kind of make them sound chunkier with a little bit of a buzziness to them. So it's just like not right. But it's a very similar pattern. It's not exactly the same pattern, but it's a very similar pattern. It's just like a thicker, heavier, a thicker build sound to this vireo.
You got there.
I got there. Yeah. No, it was pretty distinctive that this is not a wide-eyed. This is a thick-billed vireo. So we had our third lifer and we spent, it was good. 30 minutes trying to see if we could work our way around this little mangrove pond.
I know.
No, it was not happening.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of like access points in natural areas.
It's on purpose. Sure. They want you to stay on the beach and drink your daiquiris and pina coladas and relax.
Yeah, so. I get it. So we walked down towards the absolute end, the southern edge of it. Had that grass quit. Also,
yeah, which as I mentioned, people drinking pina coladas, like it was in a bush or it was on a branch out in the open, like maybe 15 or 20 feet away from a couple just sitting on the beach drinking their frozen daiquiris or whatever.
Nice.
So they did not care. It was happy, which it wasn't a lifer, but I think it was our first time seeing it.
Like, good look Bahamas, at it.
Yeah. Oh, well, the first good look.
No, that's where we had it the first time. Did we have it the first time? That was a lifer there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was banana quit and then the grass quit were the two lifers that we had the first time we
went. Probably there. The same grass bird quit.
From 10 years ago or whatever. Yeah.
So we kind of gave it up at that point because I wanted to go snorkeling. And we headed back to where we're stationed for the afternoon and did some snorkeling, which was fun.
Yeah.
And relaxing, just get a float in the water. That's my favorite thing to do is float in the water. And got back on the ship and headed to the next port.
Yeah. The next day though was not a lot of birding. It was the day of the wedding, so it was kind of we were a little preoccupied.
Yeah.
Not much birding that day.
That was a long day.
But we got through that. Had a good time.
I got my hair done. Lots I got my of, makeup of drinking. Done.
Yeah.
Lots of drinking.
Lots of drinking. And then the next day was Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So landed in Puerto Rico around 8 a.m. We, like Hannah said, we were unsuccessful in getting some local guides. There are tons of local guides in Puerto Rico. Not that many were available, apparently. None were available, actually.
And Puerto Rico is huge, and it's a great birding spot. There's one location that's very well known. It seems like every birder that goes there. And it's El Jungay National Forest. And they had one excursion on the ship going there. And since we couldn't arrange anything else, we just booked that.
We booked it like the day before.
Yeah.
We were like, finally pulled the trigger.
I was getting my makeup done and you were standing there like keeping me entertained. And I was like, go book that trip.
It was like, okay, fine. We're just going to book it. Because we couldn't figure anything else out. And that was going to a national forest.
And we didn't want to, like, waste our day in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and just kind of hang out at the port. Which, it's not a waste. There are a lot of things to do at the port. But
also, Puerto Rico has a bunch of endemics.
There's a lot of endemics in Puerto Rico. So we wanted to at least give it a shot. Get as an attempt. And I think we did pretty good. As a disclaimer of the type of trip it was, it was a bus ride up to El Jungay, which was about an hour.
Maybe something like that,
to get up there. And then we had about an hour and a half up there. Yeah. And then an hour back.
Yeah.
In that hour and a half that we were up there, we had like 6 stops.
No, we had 3 stops.
12 stops. 13 stops.
We had 3 stops.
20 stops.
Oh my gosh. Stop it.
I felt like the whole time all we were doing was getting on the bus and off the bus.
I know. That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
Tour guide tricks. On the bus, off the bus.
Exactly. Because it takes like 10 minutes to get everyone on the bus. Takes that 10 minutes to get off the bus.
Exactly.
Yeah. So 3 stops. And
we had 20 minutes at each stop.
Yeah. Which is a very quick turnaround.
I know. Didn't have any time to do anything.
Yeah, didn't have any time to do anything, but we did have time to get lifers, and we did have time to get endemic lifers.
Yeah.
So that was, it worked out okay. Not the best birding situation. There are tons and tons and tons of trails in this park. This park has hundreds of miles of this park. This national forest has hundreds of miles of trails. A lot of them got destroyed in Hurricane Maria, which just devastated the habitat, devastated the cities, devastated everything. But there are still a ton of trails out there. And there's a ton of nice, healthy trees that have recovered relatively well. Not everything's recovered well, but a lot of it has. And we got a bunch of birds. And they were close to the bus, basically. So we... Puerto Rican Spindalis, Puerto Rican Oriole, Loggerhead Kingbird, Puerto Rican Emerald, and then a ton of, like, Greater Antillean Grackles things that you just normally see. So
it's such a cool forest.
3 Puerto Rican endemics, like boom, boom, boom.
It's just such a nice forest.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I would definitely want to like go to Puerto Rico and then actually, you know,
spend a day or two. Like,
we'll rent a car and then just, we could spend like 3 or 4 days just birding around it.
Oh yeah.
It's such a nice sight, and it's like up in, you know, the cloud forest kind of situation.
Yeah, so it was nice and hot down in the city, and then you go up.
And it was raining.
Yeah. But the birds are still out because it's a rainforest.
Yeah.
So it's
there's just so much to see. Like, I feel like we'd need to print a map and then just highlight things as we go and see if we ever actually do all of it.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, it was beautiful. As Eric mentioned, it was a bus trip. There was like, I don't know, 20 of us on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't great birding by any means.
But it was really, really good habitat. And that's the objective for us when we go on a cruise. Is
find a place with habitat.
Find get to a place that has habitat.
Yeah.
Like get to a place where you're away from the city, get to a place where you're going to have some natural areas around and you'll find birds. Mm-hmm. They're around, and if you can be as lucky as having a trip that goes to the National Forest, you can do really well, well, relatively well in the hour that you're there.
Yeah.
In the middle of the afternoon. It's kind of a bunch of caveats on top of that. But, I mean, three Puerto Rican endemics. Loggerhead Kingbird was a lifer.
Well, so, I mean, the 3 stops we had, the first one was, there was, like, a large tower. I'm sorry, I'm not going to know the name of any of it, because I wasn't listening to our tour guide at all. I was looking for birds. Anyways, there's a tower.
We had 20 minutes. We had to look as fast as we could.
And I was looking for the bathroom. Their bathroom was closed there. So that was, you know, after an hour bus ride. Folks need a bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So anyways, we got to this tower and everybody, you know, was walking up looking at it, but we were of course looking for birds, and there was this great magic tree just next to it that had all of this stuff. Like the Oriole was in there, the Spindalis was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a good hot spot.
Oh yeah.
And then we continued on to a pool that had been built.
It was a pool that was like a natural spring that they just bricked in, mortared in this pool. And there's actually 2 pools up there.
Yeah.
And there's like a changing area up there too that is kind of out of service.
Well, because you can't use the pool anymore.
Yeah.
I think.
For some reason.
Yeah. So that site...
Oh, because there wasn't a lifeguard. That's what it was.
That site we didn't get a chance to really bird that much because that one did have a bathroom. So I had to wait in the long line for women's bathroom. So, that spot I definitely think could be better, you know,
Scaly naped pigeon and stuff like that.
Yeah. That was a good look at it. You're right. And then the third one that we stopped at was a bridge overlooking a river, which was absolutely beautiful. Had a ton of fish in it. but we didn't get that many birds. I mean, some of those like scaly naped pigeon and like some of the more common stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was also like in the heat of the afternoon.
Yeah, like the clouds had blown over and it was no longer raining. It was getting pretty muggy and hot.
Yeah.
So
after we got off the bus, we decided, you know, we wanted to get some lunch. get some traditional Puerto Rican food.
Yeah, some mofongo.
Mofongo, which is a plantain-based dish with, you know, your choice of meat. It's very good.
Yeah, but be aware, everything in Puerto Rico is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
You're on an island, everything has to be imported, so you're having to pay for everything to come in. And in addition to that, Hurricane Maria really tore up everything. And so the little bit of stuff that they were producing on their own really hasn't been ramped back up. And it's just crazy expensive.
Yeah, like, definitely.
So it was tourist prices. I feel like it was similar to the prices that we pay in our hometown, but we live in a very heavy tourist destination.
Yeah.
So it's, as opposed to the rest of the states, everything was pretty, pretty expensive.
Yeah. But anyways, we just stopped at a random restaurant that I saw on Google. I can't even remember what it was called.
I think you just typed in mofongo into Google and then we just stopped at a random one.
Well, it was like on the way to the national park and I wanted to, like, you know, streamline things. So anyways, we got the mofongo, and instead of the world famous pina coladas that you can get in San Juan, because apparently that's where they were invented.
That's what they say.
We decided to get a couple beers because that's what we like to do when we see lifers, I guess.
Yeah.
And
get a lifer beer when you have a lifer bird.
Yeah. And they have a brewery that's not too far out of San Juan that they had some of the beer at the restaurant we went to from Ocean Lab Brewery. And it was fantastic.
That's pretty
beer.
Good. Yeah. 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 My mofongo was pretty good too. I got the shrimp one. So yeah. It was like the plantain stuff with just shrimps piled on top. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I got pork.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe the dish. It's hard for me to, like, so we met the guy that sized me for my suit. He's for the suit for the wedding.
He was at the men's warehouse.
At the men's warehouse. He was from, like, men's warehouse in Oregon. He was from Puerto Rico. Not in Puerto Rico. Yeah, he was from Puerto Rico, and he was like, "Oh, when you're in Puerto Rico, you have to try the mofongo." And so I was like, okay, well, he told us he's from there. And then our guide that we had was, he kind of described it and he went on about it. And it's like, okay. But I still don't really know how to describe it. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I love plantains, though.
Plantains and meat.
Yeah, plantains and meat.
Yeah.
What more could you need?
Yeah. So after lunch, we went up to the national park that was just right overlooking the port.
Basically overlooking the cruise terminal.
Yeah. And it's absolutely beautiful. The section we went to is Castillo San Cristobal, and there is another section that's like on the point in San Juan, but we didn't have time to hit that one.
Yeah, too. There's two different forts that are there that are both.
I think there's actually three.
Oh, is there three?
I think so. I'd have to look at the national park map again, but
yeah, but it's old. It's a Spanish style fort that's just built of just all like limestone and just old. So it's super cool.
I learned so much, and I always try to do the Junior Ranger program whenever we go to national parks, because there's no age limit on being a Junior Ranger. They just, like, you know, recently gave a Junior Ranger pin to some 94-year-old man. It was on made national news.
There was a woman that we met that was like 90 or 80 or something like that. She's like, "I'm the oldest Junior Ranger."
Well, anyways, it's a great program, and I love it, and I love to do it, and drag Eric along with me when I do it, because I learn so much about the site.
And I'm one of those 3-minute people at the interpretive panels. I'll read the whole interpretive panel.
Yeah, I won't. I'm 3-second. Like, I look at the pictures, read the captions, and that's about it. but at the fort, unfortunately, they didn't have any English Junior Ranger books, and my Spanish isn't good enough to be able to
to try it, but they also didn't have any pens.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, what would be the point of working so hard to translate the Spanish?
Because you can mail it in.
Oh, can you get a pen?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we should have done that then.
No, we didn't have time because we weren't going to go to the other one.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so we didn't do it. We didn't get Hannah a Junior Ranger pen from Puerto Rico, we'll so we're going to have to go back. Yeah.
Bummer.
Dang it.
But that fort was just, it was so cool, and I learned so much about it. One of my favorite things was that they had, like, these huge cisterns underneath, and because the cistern provided all the water, the drinking water for the folks there that staffed the fort, they didn't have animals within the fort, because then the waste would ruin the water and cistern, which is, like, obvious, but not something I can say.
Not something you'd really ever think of until you ruin the water, and you're like, oh, the water's all ruined.
Exactly. What'd you learn there? Anything?
I don't know. I can't remember any particular thing. I mean, I just enjoy reading all the panels. Like, so I'm a 3-minute person. I read the whole panel, but a lot of it goes in one ear out the other, or in one eyeball and out the other.
What about the stalactites? Oh,
the stalactites. Yeah. So a lot of it was made out of limestone. So yeah. a lot of the stuff, the fortress itself was constructed with limestone. So it's high in calcium, high in dissolved minerals, and water is running through it and has been running through it for
centuries,
hundreds of years, right? I think it was built in 17 something.
in one eye and out the other.
In one eye and out the other. But the water has been running through this thing for so long that, like, you go in some of the underground passages and there's stalactites hanging down. In some of the places, there's stalagmites. Like, it's both a stalactite coming down and then a stalagmite working its way up. But then because people walk on them,
yeah,
they aren't really building up anymore on the ground. But the ceiling, at least, is still building up.
That's so wild. Like, it's a mined limestone, you know, block that they put in there.
And then the water that's infiltrating through it is causing... There's enough of it, and it's been there long enough that it's causing a stalactite. I've
never seen something like that. Yeah. So cool.
That was fascinating.
So, we got back on the ship, and our next day, we were headed to Grand Turk in Turks and Caicos.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I also really wanted to go snorkeling. So,
well, if you're going to go to the Caribbean, you might as well go snorkeling.
I love snorkeling. And so I conned everybody else into getting a private snorkel cruise because there were so many of us there for my sister's wedding.
Yeah, there was like 10 of us. So rather than all of us paying for an excursion, it was actually cheaper per person for us to just rent a boat with a guide and go out.
Yeah, so got a guide from, I think it was Grand Turk Divers.
Mm-hmm.
There's
fantastic,
like,
guide.
There's like 3 dive companies that are there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were like for the same price as everybody getting their like a spot on a public cruise. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, snorkel. For the same price, we'd get 4 hours instead of 2 hours. So we spent, yeah, like the whole day with the guide. He took us to a couple different dive sites.
Yeah, we had 3 different stops. One that was right at the edge of the reef, or edge of the shelf.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
So there was a drop all the way down to who knows how far
thousands
down.
Thousands of feet.
Just darkness down below it.
Yeah.
The other stop was all really shallow, and there was lots of fish, tons and tons of fish. Tropical Caribbean. It was gorgeous, gorgeous. Tons of fish to see. And then our third stop was to an island that the snorkeling, there wasn't really any snorkeling. It was more of a stingray experience. Yeah. And so we get there and our guide, he pulled out of his bag a lionfish that he had killed earlier in the day or recently, at some point recently. I don't know how often he goes and kills lionfish, but he had lionfish. And so he hops out of the boat and starts chopping up into pieces and throwing pieces of lionfish out into the water. And then within 2-3 minutes, all of a sudden we had like 5 stingrays like swimming around us while we're all, he's like, okay, just kneel down and they'll bump into you. And so that's what most of us did. Hannah was like, I'm
not going to play that game.
No, thank you. And she got out of the water, but I laid there and they were like aggressive about like, we want that lionfish.
They were like our cats.
Yeah. They would just like ram into you and then kind of, like, sniff around until they found where there's a chunk of lionfish and they eat it and then swim around and do a lap. So that was fun.
Well, the coolest thing about that was after the lionfish was all gone,
mm-hmm.
then the beach that we were at, it was like sandy until, you know, like a few feet in, and then it dropped like 2 feet and then it was just seagrass.
Yeah, it was like an eelgrass, like sort of stuff. This only like 6 inches tall and is like dark green.
Yeah. So after the whole lionfish was gone, mm-hmm. and then the stingrays were kind of still hanging around in the area,
because they were still hoping that they'd smell it again.
Yeah. They went through the eelgrass and I like laid in the water with my feet, you know, looking at them. I was laying in the sand because
just on your belly in the sand, looking like.
Yeah,
flat.
Like
yeah.
Underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching them just like swim around in the eelgrass, and it was just like a National Geographic. It was was really cool.
They're just like sailing through the grasses.
Yeah, and then there was some cowfish that came up too, and I enjoy watching cowfish. They're fun fish.
They're an interesting fish. Yeah,
and that was also a really cool spot because at Gibbs Cay, there's which was the site that we were at.
Yeah.
There's kind of a rocky like outcropping mm-hmm. into the water, and there was like 5 ready turn stones
and an American oyster catcher hanging out on
yeah,
it too.
And they didn't care at all. Like I swam up to them and I was like just kind of barely peeking out of the water, and they were just right there. Like I could have gotten amazing photos.
You could have just reached out and grabbed one,
probably.
If you had your waterproof camera with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
If only, dang it.
So that was a very fun day. After we got off the cruise, everybody else that was with us decided to go get a drink mm-hmm. at a bar down the beach. But Eric and I were like, no, we didn't see enough birds.
Yeah, so we only saw a couple, and none of them were lifers. So it's like, let's see if we can find a lifer. Like, so we looked up, and Bahama Mockingbird was supposed to be down there. We found out later that no, it's not even on this island.
Yeah.
So wasn't... Yeah, Grand Turk's not going to have a Bahama Mockingbird, apparently.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of, like, e-bird checklists.
Not a lot.
At Grand Turk. So I felt like, you know, we did our research that we could, but there, like, wasn't a whole lot to find.
Yeah, and then we're trying to look at range maps of things that are there. It was not a lot there, and Grand Turk isn't very big, so it's kind of trying to see, like, there's a lot of ocean on these range maps. But we headed east out of the port to a place called as Hawk's Nest Salina, and there's a bunch of salt lakes where they used to harvest salt. So they would pull in a bunch of salt seawater, just like they do in Israel. They pull in a bunch of seawater and then just let it evaporate and work it through as it gets more and more saturated with salt until finally it's evaporating into a crust that you can shovel up and then send to another drying process. So there's all these salinas that are all up and down the island, and one of them was super close to the cruise port. So I was like, oh, let's go see it. Salinas are going to be great. It's a little salt lake that's going to have tons of wading birds. And it did.
Yeah.
Like, tons of wading birds. There was some egrets, some herons.
Some peeps.
There was a bunch of peeps that were too far and flighty to get on it.
Well,
least sandpipers.
Also because you got the salt haze.
The salt haze, yeah. But super cool, really, really active and exciting. And then there was a road that kind of went along the side of it. They were like, oh, let's walk up this road.
That looks like it was supposed to be a housing development.
I think so, yeah. There was like a sign that made us think that. But we go up that road a little ways and we hear a mockingbird. And at this point, we're still thinking, Bahama Mockingbird. Oh, and so I record it, and it's not a great recording because it's really windy. And then we see it, and it's like, well, how do you tell the difference between Bahama and Northern Mockingbird? And so then we go back to the range maps, and we go to eBird, and we're trying to figure this out while we're looking at this guy, and realize, oh, there are no Bahama Mockingbirds here. We've made a mistake, and this is a Northern Mockingbird. This is a mockingbird that we get in the States very regularly. We get it in Oregon, we get it in Florida, Texas, just everywhere. So it's okay, fine.
But we did head back towards the cruise from there, because mm-hmm. we were really close to the cruise port, and there was like a gate, like a man gate that you could walk through to get in before you got to like the little shops,
the stores and stuff as you're getting on the boat.
But there was like, I don't know, it was almost like a butterfly garden right outside of it.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like it.
And there was a grosbeak hopping around in the bushes. It ended up being a rose-breasted grosbeak, which we had to ride in. Was a rare bird.
Yeah.
So that was exciting.
It was a very obvious rose-breasted grosbeak, too. It was an adult and everything, so it was gorgeous.
Yeah. And then a ton of warblers, too. There was 5 palm warblers and 10
and
Cape Mays.
The Cape Mays, yeah. So many Cape Mays. I've never seen so many Cape May warblers.
Yeah.
Like,
so...
I know they're fairly common up in the Central Flyway. You go to like Ohio and Indiana and stuff. They're fairly common in the spring, but like
we don't get that many.
I've seen very few. So seeing that many at once is super exciting.
Yeah, and some of them were bright and beautiful.
Really like full adults ready to go fly and go start breeding. I mean, it was like 3 months too early, but they were ready. They were prepared.
But they're ready.
They're ready.
So the next day we were supposed to go to the Dominican Republic, but this is the first time this has ever happened on a cruise that I've been on.
For us, it's not an uncommon occurrence, but it's first time we've ever experienced it.
Yeah, that the winds were too high. So right as we were about to pull into the Dominican Republic, they decided to scrap that stop because of high winds.
Our stop, we were supposed to dock at 7 and get off at 7:30.
Yeah.
And we wake up, we're up early, and then we're sitting on the deck, and it like 7 o'clock or 6:30 or something like that. It was still early before we were supposed to have docked. Mm-hmm. We're still cruising at like 20 knots. And it's like, why are we going so fast still? This is interesting. And so we go get some more coffee and we're sitting around waiting. And we're just waiting until like we slow down and start turning into the port. And yeah. We never do. And then like an hour after we were supposed to have docked, the captain comes over and says, hey guys, bad news. We had, I think it was 15 knot winds and heavy seas at the port. So it would have been impossible to dock. The ship just couldn't dock in those conditions. So he's like, so we have to scrap it and we're just going to have an extra day at sea instead. And so we just spent the day at sea.
Which was disappointing. We didn't have a guide lined up because we couldn't find anybody that was in the Amber Cove, Puerto Plata area mm-hmm. that was available.
But we had the most solid birding plan. We did. We had a plan. All the stops
we had a
for
plan
that, one.
That I was really excited about. Yeah. They have in Puerto Plata, which is not too far from Amber Cove.
It's a short taxi ride, yeah.
There's a teleférico that takes you up to the top of a mountain, mm-hmm. which has a Chrysler Redeemer, mm-hmm. like in Brazil, at Rio.
Yeah, Rio, yeah.
Yeah, and they had like a mock replica of that, but there was also a botanic garden up there.
Yeah.
And there was...
And botanic gardens, they have lots of plants. I know. They're usually really good for birds.
So we were going to go do that, which I was really excited about. And I got my dad all excited about going.
And because we were docking, we were supposed to be docking relatively early in the morning. It was like, okay, we would probably be arriving up there around 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And so we'd get the first ride on the Teleférico up and hit that botanic garden right as everything opens. But alas, we had another day at sea.
Also, it was going to be another country for my list of countries that I've been to.
And we would have gotten you some money, some...
Dominican some, Republic money.
Is it? Do they use Dominican... Do they, like, DR pesos? Is that what they use?
I don't know.
But, oh well.
Yeah, that was disappointing, but it is what it is. We can't control the weather.
Can't control the weather, and we got another day at sea. Is it yeah. Well, not an additional day. It was still a 7-day cruise. It was, but we spent the day at sea, and so we really put the drink package to work. We made sure to get our money's worth out of that drink package.
I found out that I really like Rusty Nails.
Yeah, I like gin and tonic. I couldn't think of anything else to drink. I drank a lot of gin and tonic.
Yeah. Well, and the last cruise you were drinking that Dunes drink, which I was kind of afraid it was going to turn you like toxic because
it's like bright green. It's
like mostly like Midori.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a handful of those too. Like it's a fruity, like a melon sweet drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways.
No, normally I like beer, but when I'm on a cruise, like trying to drink beers on a cruise, I feel like I just get so like bloated and just feel like, ugh, like gluggy. So like I drink hard liquor when we're on a cruise.
It's the nice thing about hard liquor though. It's like less liquid mm-hmm. at a given drink.
Yeah. So you don't end up getting all bloated from it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So, on our way back, we had, like Eric said, we had 2 sea days then at that point. Mm-hmm. We did end up having a brown booby that was circling the ship.
It spent like half the day circling the ship. And I saw it at one point and I was like, oh man, that's so exciting. And then I forgot all about it. Went back to the bar, hung out for a little bit. We ended up going back to our room for some reason later in the afternoon. It was like 5 o'clock or something, or 6 o'clock. And it was getting close to sunset. And it was still flying around, and I was like, oh man. So I grabbed my camera and I was like, I gotta take some pictures of this off the deck. So I took a handful of pictures off the deck. I'm like, okay, as he flies by and just does a bunch of laps. So it was really the only photos I got on the, I brought my camera and like the only photos I got was of the brown booby on like the last day of the cruise.
Well, it was a fun cruise. Yeah. We did get, I think our total was 7 lifers.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Fairly good for a cruise that was not. It was a wedding cruise for your sister, a company retreat for the company, and
we missed our big stop.
And we missed a stop because of weather. So I felt like 7 lifers, and I think it was probably 30-some species total that we saw.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, and I guess Eric asked me, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, what's your takeaway?
I feel like my takeaway is that, like, you can make any situation birdie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just got to keep your eyes open and dedicate yourself to trying to figure it out, which can be frustrating at times. Like when you're trying to find a guide somewhere and there aren't any guides, you know. I guess just making lemonade out of lemons, you know. Yeah. Like, Of course, yeah, we're on a cruise. I'm very, you know, privileged to be able to get to go on a cruise and everything. And I did have a great time on the ship and would have had a great time at any of the ports. But I want to get more birds. It's a compulsion at this point.
Yeah, and my biggest takeaway was just always have your binoculars with you and always, whenever possible, like if you're in a place that it's appropriate to be carrying binoculars or acceptable, generally acceptable to carry your binoculars, just carry them with you. Because you never know. And like there was lots of times where I was just wandering around the ship with binoculars strapped around my shoulder and like thrown behind my back so I wouldn't run them into stuff.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did I ask you to go down and get my binoculars from the room because I saw a tropic bird flying around?
Red-billed tropic bird flying past the ship, and it's like, oh, we need to look at this better.
I know. So, yes, it was a great time had by all.
Great time had by all. So thank you guys all for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and or learned something new. Please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Music, or anywhere else you listen to us. If you would like to connect with us on the socials, please follow us at Hannah Goes Birding and Eric Goes Birding on Instagram. You can follow our Facebook page at Hannah and Eric Go Birding, our email at hannahandericgobirding@gmail.com. Check out our website, www.gobirdingpodcast.com. And we're also on pretty much every social media, TikTok and Blue Sky and Twitter and
Threadless.
Like,
no, wait, Threads.
Threads.
Threadless is something else.
Threadless is the clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Thread Up.
Thread Up.
I don't know.
Ooh, there's a lot of thread stuff. Anyways, tell us what you like, tell us what you hated, and share the love of birding with your friends.